Hello and welcome, listeners, to Women Leading Change. This is a podcast series launched by the Sahel and West Africa Club, SWAC Secretariat at the OECD. That's the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Here we tell the stories of inspiring women leading change as civil society actors, activists, authors, health and humanitarian workers, politicians, traders and business leaders in West Africa. I am your host, Dr. Lena Coney Hoffman, and in this series, we hear from transformative change makers from across West Africa. We use these conversations to help us better connect SWAC's evidence-based analysis with real advocacy and action. Joining me today on Women Leading Change is Valerie Labbe. She's the CEO and co-founder of Wahoo Mobility Limited, a startup based in Ghana and became Africa's first e-bike manufacturer in 2020. I love that Valerie describes herself as a serial impact entrepreneur tackling the UN Sustainable Development Goals. It gives me this visual that she's always building something. Today, we'll be discussing accessible, sustainable, and inclusive mobility in Ghana. Welcome, Valerie, to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
I'm very excited to speak with you, so we'll just get right in. I'd like to start the podcast with guests' backstories. So, Valerie, could you just tell us how you became interested in mobility issues and why you decided to go into the business of producing electric bikes?
Yeah, I always say I kind of fell into the mobility space. I started my career as an economist with EY in banking and capital markets, and I'm an imported or exported Ghanaian, depending on where you're standing. I was raised in the UK, but I moved back to Ghana 15 years ago, really on a mission to kind of use my understanding of business to build social enterprises and build businesses that drove social and environmental value as well as economic value. And I found myself living in the northern part of Ghana in Tamale, which was an interesting experience. At the time, I was building a sanitation social enterprise. So I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time at household levels, talking to people from farmers to business people. And one thing that kept coming up over and over again was around that there wasn't sustainable and reliable transport means and methods that could be used by both men and women. And so I just started kind of picking away at that because the kind of character I have is always around problem solving. And I started thinking, you know, could we develop a vehicle that could fulfill this kind of last mile mobility need that could be more sustainable? And so that's where I kind of fell in love with bicycles and started looking at how I could enhance the performance of bicycles, particularly to be electric so you can get the range. But bicycles were also an interesting starting point, particularly for women, because you don't need a license to ride a bicycle and they're relatively easy to maintain. And so I thought it was quite an interesting, e-bike just ended up being a really interesting product proposition to fulfill reliable, sustainable last mile mobility.
That's really just so excellent to see the starting point and all the experiences, especially kind of this household, almost like household data collection at that level that you were going through. And you already kind of center the needs of women, the mobility needs of women in our conversation. And I want us to come back to that. But just to kind of help along the conversation and to integrate some of the findings from SWAC's research, particularly in Accra and Kumasi, cities that I know you're very, very familiar with, I'd like to just get your insights on some of these data points and some of the findings from it. you already speak to the challenges that farmers and traders have about accessing, you know, various spaces. The report highlights this about the challenges that various sector individuals have with accessing just your general population, basic services like the markets, healthcare centers, primary schools, and the kinds of different means of transport available to them. I'd like to hear a bit more from you about the potential of cycling to address, you know, these accessibility gaps, how you came about e-bikes as the solution, just a bit more about that backstory. And I'd like you to also, if you don't mind, speak about the wider context of kind of the policy environment and the landscape in which you developed these ideas.
Yeah. So there was a recent study by the MasterCard Foundation that said by 2030, there'll be around 30 million gig economy workers across Africa, and the majority of those workers will be in the transport sector. And I think for me, that was also something that really triggered, a starting point on if you look at the adoption for new mobility or e-mobility or more sustainable mobility, for us, the starting point was really at the heart of e-commerce or the heart of the last mile mobility are these delivery riders. And so my kind of thought was, if there was a way to actually pivot or make it easy for delivery riders in Africa to actually embrace e-mobility, then we would be not only from a carbon credits and an environment perspective doing the right thing by the environment, but also centering mobility around being able to create sustainable jobs. And so there are a number of things around, the first starting point was that there is a connectivity gap, and it's rural to urban, it's farm to market, it's for entrepreneurs reaching their last mile customer. And that in Africa, there already was a movement around digitization of this last mile mobility gap. And we saw things like Jumia pop up and Bolt pop up. But there wasn't really much from a policy perspective on how we would fill that mobility need from a vehicle perspective differently from how we've always done it. I think up until this point, as a continent, we have fulfilled our transport need by importing unroadworthy, expensive, broken down cars from the West. And I think that e-mobility really presents a new opportunity for us to look at transport differently. I think every vehicle on the continent in the next 10 years is going to change. And what it really changes to is down to us as a continent to be meaningful about building local capability to design electric vehicles. And that's really where Wahoo started. Could we design an electric vehicle that suits the reality of our context from an infrastructure perspective? Could we design electric vehicles in Africa that could be produced at scale? And could we design electric vehicles that could be affordable to the majority of people? And from a policy perspective, it really does start with us believing in Africa as thought leaders and innovators in the EV space. And most of our African policies and automotive specifically really start with us as assembly. And so I think that's one thing that we really need to look at. How do we change that? How do we create a policy environment that embraces innovation and empowers us as young Africans to design transport solutions that actually suit our context? The e-bike was an easy entry point for us because, like I said, a bicycle is a relatively simple product. Making it electric improves the performance, and also because it's a relatively simple product, it can be fixed even at a community level. So already there all over the continent are natural supply chains and natural value chains to maintain electric bikes. What we really need now, if we're looking at how do we scale up initiatives like Wahoo, is around the policies looking at infrastructure. So as we know, we get more micro-mobility solutions on the road. how are we even building our road infrastructure to accommodate for that? At the moment, we are building a lot of, you know, flyovers and huge motorway infrastructure when we need things as simple as bike lanes to make our cities more sustainable. And then finally, really looking at policies that really drive affordability. At the moment, most African countries are reliant on importing secondhand cars, not because we like secondhand combustion vehicles, but because it's what is affordable. So I think we need innovations in the financial sector to start to see how can we connect African individuals to electric vehicles in a sustainable and affordable way by having appropriate risk profiles when we're pricing things like interest rates. If you're in Ghana today and you want a loan for an electric vehicle, you're going to be paying 30% interest plus. You need more than 120% collateral before you can even borrow from a bank. And so with Wahoo, we look to bridge that gap from a financial perspective by actually creating a digital platform that connects to our electric vehicles, which allows us to leverage data to build digital profiles of gig economy riders so that we can actually make them bankable. And the data is like telematic data, data on delivery earnings, data on paying off a fixed asset, is now kind of positioning our e-mobility company at the nexus between e-commerce and fintech, and therefore enabling us to drive financial inclusion. And so when I'm really looking at the transport sector, we need to think at what will make mobility easy, what will make mobility sustainable, what would make mobility affordable, and write policies around that.
That's really just fantastic, the way you lay out this multi-sectoral vision. And it is a very bold and a very ambitious vision. What you say about the way in which we conceptualize infrastructure and the kinds of questions policymakers, innovators should be asking themselves around how we design and make policy, not just for the present, the immediate pressing transport needs, but we're thinking sustainably, being able to think sustainably and to think about affordability. And inclusion, and the point you make about financial inclusion. So it's really just this very broad vision that it's not just simply about a means of transport, but really just transforming so many different sectors. And that's really just fantastic to hear. And I want to hear, because you've mentioned accessibility, questions around accessibility, asking policymakers, innovators, people working in the space, asking themselves these particular questions. I want to come back to the point you were making at the top of the conversation around the needs of women. And I want us to really center that now in the conversation. This is something that the report that I referenced on accessibility for sustainability, it has a gendered approach. I want you to speak to how to make cities more accessible for women. And I know you're going to think in an intersectional way, so it's not just accessibility for women, particularly the fact that women have, bear the larger brunt of accessibility gaps and carry, you know, the larger burden of care-related mobility issues. How do we make cities therefore more accessible for women? How do we think about gender as it intersects with sustainability, on inclusion, and finally on issues of safety for women? So really thinking about how do we sit women in this conversation around sustainability, accessibility, affordability and inclusion and safety, not forgetting safety.
Yeah, I think for me the starting point is in most African markets, we would pay our sons for delivery, but we would send our daughters to the market. Mm. We would send our daughters to the shop. So the first thing that for me has been around really understanding from a cultural perspective, how can we transition journeys that we typically would do as women into revenue generating opportunities. So I'll give you an example. With Wahoo, we just launched a program in Lomé called Women Delivers in partnership with the UNEP. And this is looking at exactly that in communities where women typically even ride motorbikes or ride bicycles. How can we support them to transition to our electric vehicle as a way of earning a living?
That's fantastic.
Thank you. I think the second thing has been around safety. So one of the great things about electric vehicles is their connectivity or their ability to connect to IoT devices. And this also has allowed us to develop tracking mechanisms where we can actually not just track rider behaviors, how are you riding, how are you riding safely, but we can also monitor where you go so that we can always, if there is an emergency, be able to find the rider. And this is one element that we're finding that is a real positive with our app platform, is we have a number of our women riders feeling comfortable that they can be tracked and therefore are being a bit bolder around how they use the vehicle for their own incomes. I think finally for me has been around just the general burden of carrying goods from A to B. If you go into many like African markets, you would see, particularly as you go more and more rural, women carrying like heavy baskets and yam and those things on their heads with babies on their backs. And so the productive hours that we spend as African women carrying goods is limiting our capabilities. So the more we see services like delivery services or ride hailing services or water delivery services actually pop up at community levels, we're actually empowering the productive time of young African women times 10. And with that free time, we can do things like learn more, spend more time with our families, but more importantly, just rest. And I think that has a huge impact on quality of life.
Thank you so very much for ending up on the point of rest, because it speaks to the well-being of women. So it's not just thinking about monetizing the workload that women already carry, young women, older women in Africa, but really thinking about the totality of their well-being, their mental health, their physical health, their emotional health. So that's really just a broad spectrum approach to what an empowerment should really, really mean for women. And it's really just fantastic. And how it's really fantastic to hear how reflective you have been in this process and highlighting, I haven't heard that before. So it's really such an amazing thought that we pay our sons for delivery and send our daughters to market. So it's really just, that's a fantastic way to put into words the unpaid burden, unnoticed sometimes, often, burden that women bear in labor markets and just general domestic life in Africa. So thank you so very much for making those points. I want to just end on a final point, and you've spoken very eloquently and very broadly on issues of, transport and it just connecting to other sectors and other challenges that we face, like big ones and small ones in Africa. And I'd like to just hear your closing thoughts. So connecting, congestion challenges, safety challenges, affordability challenges, issues of gender, gender equality, and just well-being broadly. I'd like to just hear like a final kind of integrated vision, as it were, for sustainable transport transition, not just for Ghana, but from Africa, from you.
Yeah, I think my kind of journey and my perspective has been relatively unique as a female founder of an automotive company.
Like, I can imagine.
And I think if you're looking at, yeah, and I think if you're looking more traditionally at automotive in general and how the world has developed transport systems and mechanisms, we've developed without a women's perspective in mind. So one thing that I'm always very conscious of is in this new wave of e-mobility, how can we have more women who are founders of institutions, because the way we look at mobility and the way that we look at society and the way that we even look at vehicle development is very different. And I think with that, we will see innovations in itself, not just in the vehicle, but in the process of how we distribute and get vehicles to as many people, sustainable vehicles to as many people on the continent as possible. We cannot negate the fact that most people feel that Africa is poor, when in actuality, Africa is expensive. And we need policies to really address how do we build industries at scale where we're localizing as many components. And not only does that mean that we need the right policy environment around innovation, we also need the right investor mindset. Investors who are prepared to invest in R&D at scale within manufacturing companies and automotive and EV companies that have a specific lens that looks at Africa's needs and looks at the needs of both men and women on the continent. And I think that's something that's very much missing. What you're seeing on the continent at the moment is a lot of VC money focused on how do we digitize the continent, but there isn't enough money to invest in CapEx, there isn't enough money to invest in R&D so that we become thought leaders of our own markets. And I would say maybe the final point to me is electric mobility has so many positives. It has positives in terms of less pollution in our cities. It has positives in terms of you're not spending as much money on petrol, so it's just more affordable. But it also has positives in terms of how we also crowd in alternative finance to bolster our economy. So things like government-to-government carbon brokerage, carbon agreements through compliance markets present a huge opportunity for not just African startups, but also for African governments to blend carbon finance into our markets to just make starting new innovations more affordable, but also scaling innovations more affordable. So yeah, I think that I'm so excited about what's happening in transport on the continent. I think that the conversation on is Africa ready for EVs has moved on. What we need to now look at is how do we adopt EVs at scale? How do we make them affordable? How do we get them to the furthest corner, the most last mile communities? And how do we develop business cases that start to lift the productive burden that predominantly women in Africa carry day in, day out, be it in agriculture, be it in SME commerce, be it in the collection of water and firewood.
Thank you so very much, Valerie, just for speaking to so many issues and taking on such a fluid and just sounds so natural to you, gendered lens, and making a case, you know, on the nose and integrated as well for thinking about the challenges that we face as a continent from a women's perspective and developing and allowing for innovation around a variety of issues and not just thinking about monetizing and just digitizing everything, but thinking about last mile communities, last mile challenges. That is just absolutely brilliant. And I hope our listeners, policymakers, decision makers, the business community that listen to this podcast, you know, consider these perspectives in how they innovate and how they work. So really thinking very carefully and very futuristically about how we redesign the way in which we do economic policy and everything in between and beyond. Thank you so much, Valerie.
Thank you too. It's been great.
Thank you. So the forthcoming SWAC report is titled Accessibility for All to Unlock Sustainability, a Gendered Approach. And we're going to put up Valerie's bio on the website. We had a great time talking today, and there's so many takeaways. This has been the Women Leading Change podcast conversation on mobility and gender in Ghana and beyond. And it has been a pleasure having Valerie on this conversation. So till next time, Women Leading Change listeners, goodbye.